Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King, and I have with me today as a special guest, Prophet Bobby Connor. And we're going to be talking about an awesome subject on the awe of God. That's awesome.
Yes.
And the wisdom of God. And of course, you've got a book called Divine Wisdom and the Awe of God that actually the subject was given to you by the Lord during a visitation on the Day of Atonement in 2012. But it's a message that lives on forever. Yes. So it's wonderful to have you with us, Bobby.
We're delighted to be here.
Yeah, I have known you, of course, for many years, and we as a ministry have always enjoyed your prophetic impact upon our lives and the way that you always lead us closer to the heart of God. And
excuse me, I've never been more excited than this period of time right now.
Yeah.
This is what we've been waiting for. It's like Esther 4:14, we're in the kingdom for such a time as this.
Yeah.
But the kingdom is in us for such a time as this also.
That's right. Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. This is one of the most exciting times in church history to be alive and to be able to serve the Lord in this hour. We're going to see shifts. We're going to see the power of God, the authority of God rule and reign in our midst. And it's going to be amazing. But I want to hear what you have to say about the awe and the wisdom of God.
Okay, I'll tell you how this thing started. I was getting ready for the Day of Atonement. It's a few days before the Day of Atonement, and I'm going to have to go to Europe. So I'd been visiting with my family, having a good time, and I thought, well, I better go down and make some preparations. So I went down the hall to my office, and so my desk was all cluttered with papers, and so I was straightening out some papers, and I heard a small sound behind me, and I thought maybe my wife or one of the grandkids maybe had walked in the office, and I turned like this, and there's a living wall of water and light spinning in my room just like this, the most beautiful translucent light, and it was a vapor coming off of it, and it was refreshing, a wind, and I thought to myself, oh, this is a time of refreshing to prepare me for the trip. And so I was just enjoying this. And then all of a sudden, out of this mist burst a lion. He's as tall as I am. And he looks, he locks his eyes and he rotates his head like this. And he looks through me. And then he roared with such intensity.
Wow.
It almost roared the flesh off of my bones. It vibrated the heavens, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, it was the most fierce roar you've ever heard in your life. And then it just stopped just like that. And there was what I call a sacred silence. And then the voice from heaven spoke and said, prepare my people to embrace the awe of God. And so the awe of God is coming, the holy reverential fear of the Lord.
That's
the word awe.
I love it. Bobby, can I ask you a personal question?
You sure
can. This is kind of a behind-the-scenes question, I guess. I know that as a prophet, you have had the Lord speak to you and reveal things to you in many different ways. Like you've had open vision, you've gone into trance, you've gone into heavenly encounters, you know, as real as we're sitting here. You've heard, you know, different sounds and voices and the still small voice as well. Mm-hmm. But when you were describing like the waterfalls and the fresh breeze and the roar, can you just give us some little behind the scenes insight on that? Like, was it like, what was it like? Was it like inside of a vision, impressions in the mind? Was it thoughts in the mind, or was it audible? Or
like Paul said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. It was more real than us sitting here in this room right here today. And this living, moving water light, it was really real. And the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm.
Yeah.
Paul said what we look at is temporary. What we can't see in the natural is eternal. And so isn't that something? I was thinking about that the other day, where it says Moses saw the sufferings of Christ and deemed that more valuable than all the opulence of Egypt. Now, that's a long vision, isn't it?
Yes.
To be able to see into the future in the spirit realm.
Right.
And isn't that something?
That is really something.
I tell you, I was preaching the other day, Patricia, and I felt something. I could push like that and push like that. And the nearest way I can describe it, it felt like saran wrap. I could see it, a thin little veil. And so I said to the Lord, what is that? And he called it a membrane. He said, it's the membrane between this world and the spirit world. He said, it's thinner than it's ever been. And he said, push through.
Yeah. You know, so often as believers, we feel like that supernatural dimension of the kingdom of God is like eons away. When really it's only a realm away.
It is only
Sometimes it's a step of faith away.
That's
or
exactly
just a
right.
breath away.
Yeah.
But that is fascinating. Now, in that encounter that you had, the Lord highlighted his awe.
Yeah.
the fear of the Lord. And yes. I love the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I've actually had two visitations of the fear of the Lord. When I hear people say, oh yeah, the fear of the Lord doesn't make you afraid, I thought, are you kidding? When the fear of the Lord manifests, everything in you trembles. There's so much awe and so much respect that you don't even want to breathe. You definitely can't sin. It's impossible to sin. When the spirit of the Lord, or the spirit of the fear of the Lord is present. I've been praying that God would bring like a revival even of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, because people will align to the purposes of God like that when that spirit is in
the
air.
That's exactly true. The verse I think the Lord really wants us to meditate on is 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us purify ourselves from every bit of the contamination of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the reverential fear of the Lord. And I said, Lord, what promise is going to promote purity like that? And He said, it's the promise of being identified as the true mature sons and daughters of Almighty
Come
God.
On.
And so that's what He wants to do.
Amazing.
Get us to a place of maturity where He can give us family business.
Yes, come on. And that's going to take complete separation.
That's exactly right.
One roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah can shake everything in us and align us that quickly.
Talking about the fear of the Lord, I think there's a lesson for us in Revelation chapter 1. John, the beloved disciple, the Bible said he's the disciple in whom the Lord loved. Scriptures tell us he laid his head upon the bosom of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so he's on the Isle of Patmos, I don't know, maybe 89 years old, something like that, or 92 years old. And he says, I hear a sound behind me, a voice behind me. He said, I turn to see the voice, and he sees Christ, his best friend.
Yeah.
But now he sees him in a dimension that's far
different.
And that's what's about to happen to the body of Christ.
Wow.
We're going to see the Lord in a whole new dimension. He was Bethlehem's babe. He was a suffering lamb upon a tree, but he's neither right now. He's the ruling, reigning Redeemer. And we're going to see him like that. And it's
There's
going to bring
so many
that
different
awe.
Aspects of God, and he reveals parts of himself within church history, sometimes to whole generations. He will reveal an aspect of his character or of his nature or something, but then there's so much more of God. So if you only know, let's say, the mercy of God, but you don't know the fear of the Lord, you're going to miss part of who He is.
That's exactly right. I think we need the perfect balance of the severity of God and the mercy of God. I am so grateful for His mercy.
Right.
We're in the kingdom because of His mercy.
Right.
But we should not attribute His mercy as Him being weak. He's a holy God. And the Bible said, pursue peace and holiness. For without holiness, no person's going to see the Lord.
Right.
Holiness is not optional. It's something we must have.
Bobby, have you ever had an experience yourself where the spirit of the fear of the Lord visited you and made you tremble, or the presence of God's holiness?
Yes.
And if so, could you describe that to us?
Probably the event that stands out in my mind most of all, on one of the Days of Atonement, I got caught up into heaven, and there was a huge door, a gigantic brass-looking door, and it was closed. And the Spirit of God said, open the door. And I protested. I said, I don't have a key. And He said, open the door. I said, I don't have a key. And the third time, He said, open the door. And I said, I don't have the key. He said, you are the key. And He said, stick your hand in the lock. And I stuck my hand in it just like that and rotated the least little bit, and the door opened. Foof! And it opened with a big vacuum. And when the door opened, there was this vacuum sound, and light started shooting from behind my shoulders through that door. And so the door swings on open, and the first thing I asked, I said, Lord, what was that light that came spewing in from behind me? He said, it's the cumulative prayers of the saints.
Wow.
And so this door opened, and there stands God as the Ancient of Days. And he's a burning figure of fire. And He said to me, step in. And this is the holy fear of the Lord. There was a looked like a threshold that I had to step over. And He took two steps backwards. And where His feet was like molting lava.
Wow. Just,
and He said, step there. He said, you can only step where I step. And I'm pleading, no, you know, because I felt ill-prepared to have something like that. And I stepped in, and fire came out of every follicle, came out of my eyes and out of my ears. And I'm telling you, when I came out of that experience, it almost cost me my life. But I'll tell you, it was worth it.
What do you mean it almost cost you your life?
When I came out of that experience, all my body heated left. This is the absolute truth. My wife had to pull up a feather mattress, stuff me under a feather mattress, and snuggle her body against mine to get my body temperature back up.
Wow. So spiritual encounters then can affect your physical body
it
when
really
you have,
can.
And of course that's biblical.
Yeah, it really can.
There's lots of examples throughout the scripture.
We've traveled in the spirit realm It would change my skin. My skin would feel like, for days, it would feel like the best way I could describe it would be a basketball that had been inflated or a football. It didn't even feel like a human skin.
Wow.
I don't understand it, but yeah, I want it. I want whatever God wants.
Or the impact of the supernatural dimension. Wow, this is so awesome. Well, we're going to take a break right now. How many of you would like to engage in more of the active interaction in the presence of the Lord? You know, to come to know His awesomeness, His fear, in the truest sense. How many of you would like to be engaged in encounter where your heart is knit together with His, not just with His unconditional love, which is always available to you, but also in His prevailing holiness, in His prevailing awesomeness, even like Isaiah, where he stood in the heavenlies and said, I'm undone, because there was so much holiness of the Lord present in His midst. Well, we're going to talk more about that right after this break.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Do you want to hear the voice of God and move more powerfully in the prophetic? Order Patricia King's book, Ears That Hear, and learn simple and practical ways to begin listening to what the Lord is saying. Go to xpministries.com and order Ears That Hear now.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
Well, welcome back, and we're discussing divine wisdom and the awe of God, and we're with Bobby Connor. And Bobby, this is an exciting topic, and you have a word for the body right now on the wisdom of God as well, because God's visiting the body with a blessing that we can receive if we discern it and if we lean into it.
Yes. I'll tell you, the Lord told me, He said, seekers will be finders and finders will be sought. And that sounds like a little rhyme. Seekers will be finders and finders will be sought. And here's what He said. He said, if we'll do the Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13 pattern, where it says, you'll find me when you search for me and seek for me with all your heart. And then when we find Him, we find the enlightenment that He has. We find the wisdom that He has. And then people will seek us out. And the Lord said an example of that in the scriptures is 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, right, where the queen of Sheba comes to Solomon, King Solomon. And the scriptures tell us she came to trick him and try him and to kind of test him with hard, arduous questions.
She didn't believe it.
No, she was hostile a bit. Yeah. And it says in the scriptures that the Spirit of God, through Solomon, answered all of her questions. And the Bible said it left her breathless. And she made a declaration, blessed are the people that follow you and your God. But I believe that's going to be available to the church. I believe as we surrender ourselves to the Lord, God will put that mantle of wisdom upon us. And I believe political leaders from around the world will come to the church. And they'll come with questions. And I believe God's going to turn our question mark into an exclamation point. So this is a great time.
I totally believe that. You know, Bobby, I think that Isaiah 60...
Yes,
is a prophetic word for us today that was actually modeled in 1 Kings 10.
That's true.
When we see Solomon and his wisdom that created wealth, because when God visited Solomon in the dream, he said, ask what you want. And Solomon asked for wisdom.
Yep.
And the Lord commended him for that. He says, because you did not ask for riches, but you're going to get riches also. And it's because in wisdom's left hand is riches and honor.
That's
so when
right.
the queen of Sheba, who was a heathen queen, came, she was blown away by the wisdom and the wealth that
that's
she
true.
Saw. And that's what caused her, as a heathen queen, to come into faith and glorify Solomon's God.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Scripture tells us that Solomon received 26 tons every year of pure gold.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
and you know,
wisdom.
He had so much wealth that was came as a result of the wisdom that he laid hold of. If we will lay hold of wisdom, wealth will come. And
that's
I believe
true.
That we're in a day, Bobby, when we, the church, have to go after the wealth. Not the love of money,
no,
not
right.
a spirit of mammon, but true kingdom wealth. Because, you know, in the world, there's great wickedness, there's gross wickedness, lawlessness, there's, you know, multi-billions of dollars are in the hands of drug cartel leaders. Multiple billions of dollars are in the hands of the cartels that control the sex trade and pornography and that. And that has to be addressed by the church with authority. And the church needs to take what is rightfully ours.
Yeah.
The wicked should not be ruling or having influence
that's
because
true.
Of their wealth. This is our mandate to do it. You know, so we have to believe God for it.
He's about to turn things around for the body of Christ. It says, we'll lend to many nations and not borrow. That's
exactly.
not talking about the USA. That's talking about the house of God, the people of God.
Exactly.
Deuteronomy 8:18, that's a precious verse.
Yeah.
He says, I give you power to get wealth.
Yeah, to make it.
To establish the kingdom. I'm telling you, this is the thing. It says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So what we've got now, we've got a group of people that's pursuing the righteousness, not the wealth. And
Amen.
See, when we get ourselves in the right position, it gets us ready for that promotion.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be amazing. God is raising up a people who love His wisdom, and who can handle wealth,
it's
who
true.
Aren't afraid of it.
Yeah.
But they don't love it.
Yeah.
They love Him.
Can I tell you a thing that happened to me? I was in a meeting, and this young kid, he danced by me, had on short cut off shorts, and danced by me, and money nearly knocked me down. So I said to the preacher, I said, man, I felt money on that kid. He said, you know who he is? I said, I don't know who he is. And he said, interview him. So I called him over there and I interviewed him. He was 24 years old and he had made $24 million that year.
Yeah.
And I said to him, how does this change your life? He said, I still drive the same car I did a year ago, still live in the same apartment I did a year ago. He said, I believe God gave me this for His glory, not mine.
Yeah, I love that.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a pure heart.
Yeah,
you know, God's going to be glorified by many believers in this hour, even as He came into that immediate wealth because God trusted Him with it.
Yeah.
There's going to be many in this hour who are going to be visited in the same way, where it's almost going to be like overnight or in a short season. We'll go out of one place, even maybe a place of restraint into a place of great abundance, and it's for the advancement of the kingdom.
I believe that. I really do. I believe that we have not seen anything yet. People go, oh man, we're in economic crisis. Well, not if you're following the family of God.
No, not in the kingdom.
No.
We're not.
God is El Shaddai, the God that's more than we'll have need of.
That's right. I was talking to a young man not too long ago. He was just in his maybe his late 20s, early 30s. And he said that the Lord had shown him that there's going to be many, many, many in the body of Christ who will be blessed with wealth, who will say, I'm going to take that city there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take financial responsibility to make sure that city gets everything it needs to grow in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, we'll plant the churches, we'll build the churches, we'll make sure everyone has Bibles, we'll make sure that there's good kingdom businesses established. And he says that he saw it in the spirit for person after person after person was going to be blessed and have a heart in God to literally transform nations one city at a time because of using their wealth for the advancement of the kingdom.
That is happening now, honestly. God is touching the hearts of these wealthy people, and they want to do something lasting with their money. And the Lord told me, He said, I want you to minister to Indonesian leaders. And I said, Lord, please, I don't want to fly to Indonesia. That's what I said. And He said to me, no, if you'll make the commitment, I'll bring him to you. And I thought, okay. And so I said, okay, I will. And in just a little while, less than 4 days, I get a call from a businessman in Indonesia. And he paid for 400 pastors to be flown from Indonesia to a resort center out between Texas and Oklahoma.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? I walked in there, and it was, you never heard such a prayer in your life in that room with these 400 pastors that had been flown over there for a meeting. And we spent 3 or 4 days just straight in a conference with them. But see, that's a ton of money. But the guy wanted to sow seed. Yeah. He knew if he reached the leaders, they would reach the people.
Yeah.
You see?
And you know, like right now, when we talk about, let's say, multiple millions of dollars, like if someone were to come and give you multiple millions of dollars, Bobby, you know, some people might be really impressed with that. Wow, multiple millions. But what I see in the spirit is when this wealth comes, there'll be a gratefulness to God, but it'll feel normal.
Yeah,
it'll feel as normal as, you know, you do on a day-by-day basis, you know, believing God for your every need. But your needs will have greater influence. Like, you know, you'll be believing God to, you know, build homes for children at risk, or to establish communities in the glory of God, to start businesses for Christian business people to influence a community. But it's going to feel normal. It's not going to feel like, oh, wow. It won't be the idolatry of wealth. It'll be normal.
True.
And I'm actually getting that right now in the spirit, is this word for many of you that are watching right now, that I believe that as you seek for the wisdom of God, as you love righteousness and hate wickedness and commit yourself to God, that you will come to know the God of all wealth. And when you know the God of all wealth, He will show you how to distribute wealth, how to establish the nations in His glory. And it'll feel normal to you. It'll be your normal walk with God. It'll be like Enoch walked with God and then he was not. It won't be about your interests. It won't be about your flesh and its desires. It'll be about your walk with God. And I just feel that so strong. You get ready for this. Prepare yourself. Fast and pray for it, because it is coming. I see it. There's going to be many, many people endowed with great wealth in this next season. If you're ready for it, if your heart is ready before God, God is going to entrust you. Many will be entrusted with this in this next season.
Amen.
Amen.
I feel the Lord speaking to a person, and I just want to share with you right now. There's a woman, your husband has passed away just recently, within the last 7 or 8 months, and he had a patent. He had a very lucrative patent, and there's a thief come to steal that patent and to take away the inheritance that God wants to give to you and to your children, your children's children. And God said He's going to rise up against that thing, and He's going to turn the wickedness back. And they've tried to alter the original patent just a bit to get another copycat patent. But I see the Lord, He's going to turn that thing around, and all that your husband worked for will not be siphoned away. It'll not be stolen away. And this has to do with something about the extraction of oil and the way they drill oil and the way they work an oil well, something in that realm. And so you'll know what I'm talking about. I get your name now. And your first name is Sandra. So Sandra, listen, don't give up. Stand your ground. Hold on to what God has said for you. The verdict is going to be in your behalf. They've stolen the patent, and the Lord will see to it that they don't steal your inheritance or the financial inheritance of your children and your children's children.
Wow. I can feel the Spirit of God on that word. I'm also getting a word about generational inheritance. And it's for someone that you have loved the story of Solomon, his wisdom and his wealth for a long time. You've always loved that story, and you've always asked the Lord for the wisdom that would then secure and release the wealth. And the Lord says, because you've been faithful to Him, not only is there going to be a comfortableness in the area of provision for your own life, but there's going to be a visitation of the wisdom upon your grandchild. There's a grandchild involved that is going to have the impact of everything that you've believed God for. And I see great wealth coming to that one. He says, begin to pray now for the wisdom of God to come, because at a very early age, your grandchild is going to come into the fullness of what the Lord has for him. And so God bless you. You know, I'm also seeing for this woman that has been believing for that wealth like Solomon because of the wisdom. The Lord says that an angel of wisdom has actually been assigned to you, but you've never felt its presence. You've never really known that yet. but you're going to sense more of its presence. It'll just be kind of like wispy wind coming over you at times. It'll be like just that fresh breeze. You'll say, what was that? And the Lord's going to remind you of this word. Because when you have the wisdom, you have the wealth to advance the kingdom of God. So that word's for you. We want to bless you with this word. It's a prophetic word. It's for all people and it's for all time. And it's this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. And you know, one of the wisest things that you can do is go and share that love with those that don't know him yet. Go and share that love with people on the street or people that are living in darkness or maybe your neighbors. God loves them with an everlasting love too. He who wins souls is wise. So I just want to encourage you, go, let your light shine. Grow in the awesomeness of God, grow in his wisdom, and give him the glory. We'll see you next time.